Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 10, Episode 4 of Das Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
For December 14th, 2017, it's the penultimate episode of Season 10, where someone gets killed. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Potatoes O'Brien, and I am joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Hello, everyone. I just want to let Ajit Pai know, if I see you in the streets, my man, it's ugly, okay? You're fucking with my internet, and I'm not here for it. But anyway, let's move on. I'm sorry.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat today by one of three people who I've looked up before the end of their first appearance on Comedy Bang Bang. I've mentioned before when we had on John Gabris, who was one of the other ones. Lauren Lapkus was the other. And now we've got the final one in the studio. Please welcome Carl Tart.
Hey. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, I'm coming.
I don't know. Thank God. Can you say nasty things on this show?
Yeah. Sure. We prefer sure ejaculating, can. Though.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going!
There you go. Carl, what's something from your recent search history that is revealing about who you are as a human being?
Let me check. Brick Shithouse.
Yeah.
Brick Shithouse was the last thing. And I wanted to know where that term came from.
It's one of my favorite terms.
Because my coaches have called me that.
Oh, you're built like a brick shithouse?
Built like a brick shithouse.
Yeah.
And did you have a flashback, or did someone recently refer to you as a brick shithouse?
Well, I donated to somebody's GoFundMe as brick shithouse.
Gotcha. Wait, so what is the root of that phrase?
Nobody knows. It was just a term to describe people that's built big.
Yeah.
So I couldn't find it. Let me see what else I got on here.
Brick shithouse is good. I think that's revealing. I think people now have an idea of what you are built like.
I'm
physically.
Built like a damn brick shithouse.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
You
smell good, though. You don't smell like a brick shithouse.
No. Yeah. I smell like a brick rose house. But what was the dude's name that ruined the internet today?
Ajit Pai.
Ajit Pai. I'm built like a brick shithouse. You come over here, you want these problems, bro.
He's coming for you.
You can get these Hanes.
Carl, what's something that's overrated?
Overrated?
Yes.
Poke bowls.
Ooh.
Oh.
Overrated. Too much mush.
Too much mush. Poke bowls are, it's like a Hawaiian dish, right? That's like raw tuna mixed with green onions and rice.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get it anyway. But yeah, I think those places are popping up everywhere, like when cupcake stores were like everywhere, like in the aughts. Like now I feel like every fucking place is like, hey, we got pokey.
Except raw fish is not something you want to fuck with. Like cupcakes can't kill you. Cupcakes, like if you have a bad cupcake, it's just a bad cupcake. But poke,
Will, I mean, yeah, you eat enough cupcakes, they can kill you.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm hoping to die like that.
Just as a cupcake king?
Mm-hmm. They call me the cupcake king.
And what's something you think is underrated?
LeBron James.
Yeah.
Underrated.
I had a feeling that I had a feeling that's where you were going to go with it.
Until everybody respects him as the greatest basketball player
as GOAT
ever seen. As GOAT, he is underrated. I don't care how many people love him. I don't care if people give him the respect that he's the best basketball player right now. But until everybody respects him as the GOAT,
better than
he
Jordan.
Is underrated. Until everybody has nothing negative to say about him. Mm-hmm. Until there is no criticism, he is underrated.
But you personally, you rate him as the greatest basketball player of all time.
I do personally.
Yes, yes, personally. And so, but you, but your dream is that people can at least acknowledge that there isn't much to criticize LeBron James about.
Yeah.
What do you, what, and what's your response to the rings argument?
I think it's stupid.
Right.
I think it's dumb. I think like Scottie Pippen also has 6 rings. Robert Horry got 7 rings.
Right.
Right.
So like, get out of here.
But what about Michael Jordan?
Michael Jordan's great.
Or Kobe.
Kobe's great.
But not GOAT.
In your book, Michael Jordan, the second best player ever.
The second best player is Shaquille O'Neal in my book. But
whoa.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
You like players who are built like a brick shithouse.
Shithouse like me.
Yeah.
And LeBron, I guess that's true.
And LeBron. Yeah. I like brick shithouse people.
I think the most underrated thing about LeBron is that he grew up in the weirdest circumstances of any human being in the history of the human species, with the possible exception of Michael Jackson. Like, he was famous from the time he was in middle school. Adidas and Nike were taking out like billboards just advertising only to him. They were advertisements like designed just to get LeBron James's attention, and he ended up still being the best player in the world, and like being as good as everybody thought he was going to be when he was 11. That's fucking crazy.
I guess that is a testament to a GOAT status, right? Because even like, you know, like it's like when the Dalai Lama, they can identify him as a child.
Yeah.
Like this, he is chosen.
And he came from nothing.
Right.
Like, the dude had nothing. Wasn't his mom like locked up at his senior game or something? Like, so his friends walked him out. Like, somebody made this argument the other day. It was like, the Warriors are they're the real Cinderella team because all these players were written off.
Right.
And I'm like, LeBron James may not have been written off, but he came from such nothing.
Right.
It's literally just, he is the most gifted person we have ever seen. And his work ethic, and which I'm sure all those players have. I'm not going to try to take away from any other players' work ethic. But, like, he came from nothing, man.
Yeah.
And he went on to be who he is and who he continues to be. And the only person in the history of the league that gets better every year.
Right.
How you get better? Like, LeBron has become a significantly better shooter.
Right.
Like, underrated shot.
Mm-hmm.
And people just, like, I look on Twitter and people just hate on him, like, literally criticize everything.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, like, a LeBron hater. I have a different GOAT, but I'm not one of those people who's trying to drag his name or be like, well, he ain't shit because he hasn't won as many rings or whatever.
Oh my gosh.
He's a fucking freak and he can play the shit out of the game, so objectively, you're going to have to give some kind of, you know, recognition.
The other night, he had like a triple double, like a 50-point triple double or something like that. And this dude posted a video of Jason Terry making a shot in his face. And it's like, it's just to criticize him.
Right.
And it's like, all right, man. Like, is he supposed to also stop every other player who are all NBA level?
Right.
Like, Michael Jordan never did that. People scored on Michael Jordan. The score wasn't Michael Jordan to zero.
Right, right,
like,
right.
Shut up. Like, people are so dumb with the LeBron argument stuff. Like,
yeah. It's worth going back and watching a Jordan game, like, from beginning to end. Because, yeah, he missed a lot of shots, man. Like, he was not, his field goal percentage was nowhere near to what LeBron's was. I still personally think Jordan's the GOAT, but I think that, you know, it's definitely a conversation for sure.
To be fair, my love for LeBron James really comes from the hate. Like,
That's why you're a Clippers fan too. Like, it seems like that motivates a lot of it, is to sort of like, when you see people go moving one way, you like to push the other.
I root for the underdog.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. It's not all, I don't always go against the grain, but I root for the underdog in most like situations. Like, I'm a Saints fan. I think, and I've been a Saints fan since birth. Like, because we're from that area.
Right, right.
And
right.
My dad played, like, preseason ball for him. But, like, that kind of taught me to be like, hey, it's the win is so much sweeter when...
Yeah, when people are against you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you have to defy them.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the greatest Super Bowl victory, like, when they, like, just did everything right that,
that
game
was amazing.
When they were the underdogs and they like got that onside kick at the beginning of the second half.
Yes. Yeah.
That was exciting stuff. All right, we're going to get into format. We're trying to take a sample of the ideas that are out there changing the world, trying to take the temperature of our global shared consciousness as a species. I'd say we are a little sick today because the internet was just murdered, potentially.
It's hot.
Yeah,
we have a
it's
fever.
Hot.
It's,
we got a fever.
It's definitely a 100-degree fever.
Yeah, 100.6, let's say. But before we get into the news stories of the day, we usually like to ask our guest for a media myth, something that people, the national shared consciousness of the species or just like of the nation, believes that you think is incorrect.
Here's a battle that's been going on. People thinking that it's not cold when it's cold. And let me explain this. We live in Los Angeles.
Yes.
We got beautiful weather.
Yes.
At nighttime, we get that high desert sometime. It's like 48 degrees. And you're walking with somebody from the East Coast.
Right.
And they cold shaming you.
Yes.
Because you're cold. And it's like, it's cold. Like, I don't care if you grew up in snow. I didn't grow up in snow. Snow would also be cold.
Right.
If
right.
we was in hell, it'll be hot.
Right, like, right, right.
I'm from the South. I've lived in very hot areas. But if we in hell... I'm not going to be like, man, it ain't hot out here. You got
like,
go to go
from Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
Yeah right.
It's like, shut up. Like, yeah. And so like, like that's one thing that pisses me off when people cold shame. Like, it's 48 degrees. I'm walking out here in a thin hoodie.
Right.
I'm cold. I'm shivering. No, I'm not about to die of frostbite. No, it's not Everest. No, it's not Everest College.
Right.
But, I'm cold. Like, let me be cold, man. Like, that don't make me weak.
I think that's just a way for people who are transplants, they get to feel like, you know, a little bit of pride.
But
like,
that's been
superior. Back where I'm from.
Yo, that's been true everywhere I've lived. I've lived everywhere in America. There's always somebody who is proud that they're, like, wearing shorts in December.
That's true.
They're like, yo, the cold doesn't bother me. It's state of mind, bro. And it's
shut
just
up.
Like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
I just retweeted this tweet by Bella K. Martinez, too, that she was like, Southerners. Snow is so pretty, Northerners. This isn't even a real snow. Just you wait. I was born in an igloo, and I drove to school on a snowmobile. We eat ice for every meal. I can't wait to die in a snowbank. Warmth, never heard of it. And it's like, yeah, that's how people from the Northeast, like, yeah, I knew a couple of people from Massachusetts who that was their claim to fame. Was
oh,
just,
really?
Yeah.
That's so funny, because I was in Boston last December. I was doing a video piece somewhere at MIT or whatever, and I was walking through the campus. There were kids straight up in, like, they had just come out of the gym in wet t-shirt, like sweat t-shirt and shorts, and were just like, oh yeah, this is great.
Right.
And I'm out here with the fucking parka on, with the scarves and mittens,
right,
just shivering. And yeah, and they look at you like you're a freak.
Yeah. We did an article about things white people don't understand, and I did research into stereotypes about white people that white people don't know are stereotypes.
Right.
And not dressing well enough for the weather was one of the stereotypes of white people, that like white people will just wear shorts in like really cold weather.
Well, that was like a funny vine that was going around. It's like,
really?
White people when it gets cold. It was like a woman eating ice cream, like, right, and like in shorts, and she's like, oh, it's great outside. And then like they pan over and reveal a black dude like in a fucking park just shivering. Like, talking about,
oh
yeah,
I think that brings up a larger one, like, mm-hmm, that one's my myth, but I think also I'm gonna do something that's gonna cause a lot of controversy, as
uh-oh,
if I haven't already with the LeBron
story. Yeah, no, that's fine.
But Los Angeles is a great city, and I don't think that
Miles just stood up and is doing a slow
that's
clap.
My, you know what, change,
I'm crying,
and,
I'm crying.
Change
single,
my underrated, change
a single
my underrated,
tear is rolling down his cheek.
My underrated is Los Angeles.
All right.
Los Angeles is an underrated city. And I'll tell you why. Of course, everybody knows you can ski and surf in the same day and be comfortable at both. Be warm in the water,
mm-hmm,
be cold in the snow.
Right.
Yeah.
You
can no, do I do it every
things.
Day. I surfed my way to work today.
Yeah.
And then you snowboarding later tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. You're going to snowboard out of here.
Snowboard home.
Yeah. Yeah. I think every time a person from the East Coast comes here and shits on this city, I don't like the argument that people are fake. Because I think most of the people who are fake are not from here.
Yeah.
Right.
And you build your own community anyway.
Absolutely.
Like, you don't have to be, like, of course, fake people everywhere. But if you're, you know, you make your friends, you make your circle. So you can very easily make a real circle of friends.
Also, right, a person in New York bumping into me and telling me to watch the fuck out is not real. That's an asshole.
Right.
And
that's right.
Don't think just because I'm from L.A., I won't beat your ass for right. doing that shit.
Fuck out of my way.
Like, yeah. Oh, really? Oh, man, that has happened. Like, that has happened every year. My team, shout out to White Women, my improv team. Every year we go to New York for DCM Festival, and some asshole New York person does some asshole shit.
Right.
And it's like, that's not being real. That's not what you think is what. Yeah, like, right, what is fake right. about out here? Do people tell you that they're going to give you a bunch of money and then they don't? Like,
right,
because
right,
you're just
right.
getting scammed. And that can happen anywhere.
Right, right.
I don't understand that real fake argument. I don't like it.
It's bullshit. Bullshit.
LA is a great city. Is you can do everything here. Every dream you want. This city has so much industry. It does have culture. And guess what that culture is? Television and film. That is a culture, believe it or not.
It's got culture.
Like, and also, go down to Olvera Street. And it's got me and Miles.
Yeah. I agree. I lived my 20s living in New York, being like the anti-LA guy, because I like spent a single summer here, like doing an internship in the film industry at Miramax, which I'm told was a toxic environment, maybe. But yeah, once I got out here, you need to be around the right people, I think.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the stories, guys, because we got a lot of Benghazi updates.
Holy shit, Benghazi.
So Russell Simmons, some very serious charges coming out against him. Three women have accused him of rape.
Ooh.
From 1988 to 2014 was the span of the accusations. And just the weird thing to me is that he legitimately seems to be astonished and like taken aback. And granted, like, you know, a lot of people pretend to be innocent, but he just, I don't know, there's something about the way he's kind of just being like, this shakes me to the core of my being.
Right.
I'm not a violent person in my heart. And Miles, you were saying that people who know him say that
there were like some on one of the articles I was reading that one of his accusers was saying like he's just deluded. You know, and like he believes that, you know, he like to try and say like there's no way this could happen because I'm an advocate and I have love in my heart. I advocate for nonviolence, that there's no way I could perpetrate this violence. And yeah, I think it was one of his accusers was saying like that's sort of how he's rationalizing like how all of this is going down, like that in some form that him being so namaste now like has absolved him from ever doing anything because he's like, well, there's no possible way. Like that must have been consensual because I'm the light now. So I don't know. I mean, like if that's either him at the peak of his delusion
or
there's truth to what he's saying. I it's hard to figure out. But based on like these accusations, I mean, these are not fucking.
Yeah.
These are
not
pretty.
Like he's straight up predatory in the way that he like does some of this shit. Like he invited a woman over to his house and said that it was for a birthday party for his girlfriend to like catch her off guard, and then when she showed up it was just him. Dark shit, man. And he's been famous since like 1984, which is never good for someone's mental health.
Privilege. You come from a place of privilege. And he also is old and he don't understand that rape and sexual assault is many different levels and layers. It's not just some dude jumping out from behind a dumpster raping somebody. It's not like that ain't just it. And also he comes from a place of thinking that he can have whatever and whoever he wants.
Exactly.
And maybe some women did throw themselves at him, but not every woman does that.
Right.
Right.
And he just, I mean, you probably did some bad shit, dog. And back in your, he talks about how much he used drugs.
Right.
You probably did some trash shit, bro.
Yeah, flying off that cocaine, who knows
where that goes. Yeah, the fact that he doesn't remember it is not really an excuse if he was just like constantly fucked up.
Morgan Spurlock.
Yeah, Morgan Spurlock.
From Super Size Me?
Yep.
He came out today and he sort of got ahead of things, it seems like.
He was like, it's not a question of if I'll be accused, but when they will come for me.
Damn.
And he talked about a situation in college where like he thought it was consensual. The girl, you know, midway through started crying and they like, you know, stopped. And but then like there's much more recent things where he's like verbally abusing his assistant in like ways that are like fucked up, man.
Yeah.
Like just like it's like, yo, this is who you are now. How are you writing this essay being like, this is not
is not me.
Completely separating himself from behavior that he was doing as a professional human being, like very recently. So that's fucked up. I don't know. Good that he's kind of owning it because he does seem to be at the other end of the spectrum from Russell Simmons in that he seems to be fully aware of how shitty his behavior was.
And just saying, like, I am the problem.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, most people don't say that. Like, yeah, you are. Okay, good. So you know you're...
So you know.
You're a sex crime.
And then...
It ain't gonna save you, Morgan.
That's right. And then Blake Farenthold, or Farenthold, is how it should be pronounced. I'm just mad that... Yeah, he has a T-H in his last name, and he tells you not to pronounce it as... Like that's
Farenthold. Anyway, Farenthold. Like, he looks like a Pixar.
That's my main complaint with him.
He looks like a Pixar bad guy. He just looks like a clown. This guy, he's a congressman from Texas. Basically, this guy was doing dirt for so long. Like, he had a sexual harassment thing come out in 2014, but just recently he said he won't seek re-election because of all the shit he's done. Like, he verbally abused his staff, calling them fucktards. Was telling female staffers like he was having wet dreams about them.
Ugh.
Also, this dude used to own the domain blowme.org.
Right.
So, like, he was never...
Talk about that? Or was that just, like, a thing that somebody, like, found out about
him? I think
him?
Someone found out and then probably asked him about it. He was like, oh, no, I don't have plans to, like, re-register that domain.
They'll probably be able to sell that for a lot of money.
Yeah. I guess the reasoning was before he was in Congress, he had a computer consulting company that bought domain names. So,
That's cool.
Because, blowme.org was going to be a real hot... You're going to retire off, you know, parking that domain.
Ruben...
Kiwin. Yeah, he's another congressman from Nevada.
Yeah, Democrat.
He's more unwanted sexual advances, which he half denies.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we're just going down a list right now. Like, we used to talk, and now we're just like, all right, so who are we...
who we got today?
I thought you were about to say Ruben Studdard.
Ruben Kiwin.
No, he is a gentleman.
So we cross him off the list, and then we get down to Warren Sapp, who was caught in the NFL Network scandal we were talking about earlier this week.
This one stylist. I feel like it was the one female in the entire NFL Network building because she was just, you know, forced to sit through all this awful shit.
Marshall Faulk exposing himself.
Really?
This happened earlier this week. So then Warren Sapp... this same stylist, apparently he just like started peeing in front of her and would show her nudes, like nude photos of other women on his phone to her. And then he gave her sex toys as Christmas gifts 3 years in a row. And then he put out this tweet with a picture of it. And he's like, I thought it was okay because I thought they was cute. Like the vibrators were cute. So he thought they'd make great sex toys. So that was his sort of defense of that. So
I just got a fake Sports Center article saying Warren Sapp blames his CTE acting up. My CTE acting up.
Yeah, we'll see. He thought it was cute though.
Yeah, they're adorable.
But yeah, and also too, there was like one of the NFL Network executives had to delete his fucking Twitter account because people found all this shit. Like he was tweeting like escorts and porn stars and stuff. So the NFL Network sounds again... not that we're surprised, but like, yo, like a fucking awful place to work if you are not about, being treated like total shit.
Yep. And one of the sex crims, Kentucky State Representative Dan Johnson, killed himself after, you know, one of his teenage daughter's friends accused him of molesting her when she was over at his house for a sleepover. And it's... you know, disturbing story, but his like last Facebook post is super disturbing, but it's also the ravings of a madman. So, I mean, this dude clearly wasn't well.
What'd he say?
He said everything from like, I'm innocent and like conservatives need to stand up for me to 9/11, 2001, WTC, NYC,
PTSD 24/7,
just like it's rambling. Crazy. It was crazy. I don't know.
And then he killed himself. How'd he do it?
Shot himself.
Oh, damn. Guns. We need gun control.
Yeah. Guns are... That is the number one way that guns kill people is suicide. Just doesn't get talked about because it's a fucking bummer.
And then finally, Tavis Smiley from PBS.
Oh, that one hurt.
Yeah.
That one hurt.
It's a weird one
because
weird because his defense is like, you know, he tried to be as forthright with PBS as possible. He had his own witnesses. He wanted to know, like, you know, who they were talking to or whatever. And like, he's claiming PBS never shared that with him. So he's out here saying like everything is absolutely false. But according to PBS, they have multiple credible allegations. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to say, Tavis.
Saw Tavis Smiley at the Arclight one night.
Really?
He was out on a date.
Mm-hmm.
She was mouthing the words like "get me away." I'm just playing. She was doing that, but he was cool. We all looked.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Is that Tavis Smiley? And it was like a bunch of white people and like these five black dudes like, Travis! Yeah. And he was like, what's going on, fellas? How you doing? Yeah.
And the white people were like, is his name Travis?
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's Tavis.
All right, man. Just because I said Travis.
No, it's not you. No, it's not you. That's his name.
Travis with
many
a
people.
Car?
Yeah, they're like, I've never heard that name. It's like, well, you haven't heard most names.
Right. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Where are we going?
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this.
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black. Directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R. Under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claims for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider.
And we're back. So we wanted to talk about net neutrality. Rest in peace. It has been killed by Ajit Pai. We spent the morning in our office, or at least I did, detailing violent fantasies about what I'd like to do to him with his wacky novelty mug. I don't know if you guys have seen. He has this giant coffee mug. It's like a Reese's coffee mug, and he just breaks it out at all these press conferences and like... It's just like
he's like a fucking
pretty funny,
like
right?
A prop comedian.
Yeah, he's like
he's stupid.
He is the worst. And
look at his dumb ass.
In keeping with his just awful, awful conservative sense of humor, he released a viral video today on the Daily Caller where he basically the premise was he's going to show you all the things you can still do on the internet after he. Kills net neutrality. And he was like, you can still take pictures of cute puppies.
You can still gram your food.
Yeah.
And buy fidget spinners.
Right.
And
it was just like, hey, kids, over here, look at these trendy things while I fucking knife the entire internet.
And then the biggest insult is at the end, he's like, and you can still do the Harlem Shake.
Oh,
and they
cool.
revived that old fucking thing from, what, 2012? Wow. So Yeah, it's unbelievable, like, how we got here. Like, there were millions of comments that were, like, spam. There were ones that were straight out of Russia, and he ignored everything, still pushed this vote through. And that's why I think a lot of, you know, there will be lawsuits
right.
after this to try and block this, because this is completely out of the ordinary. Like, this was the most commented issue at the FCC, and I'd imagine a lot of the real comments were about, you know, maintaining these rules.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it was a big, hotly debated issue online, and I think a lot of the debates that were pro-killing net neutrality were, yeah, like you said, from Russian bots. But the deal is basically, you know, currently we have a rule called, like, dumb pipe internet, where, like, the pipes are controlled by, you know, the internet service providers, and they're not allowed to determine, like, what goes through the pipes at what speed. The pipe is just a pipe that the internet flows through, and they have to just ignore what's going through it, like it's a utility, like it's water or, you know, any or electricity or something like that. And now what they're now going to be able to do is be like, yo, because AT&T has its own streaming service, if you use AT&T as your internet service provider or whatever, AT&T is not going to let Netflix flow through their pipes because they have their own streaming service.
Yeah, they want you to use DirecTV right. or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you'll have to pay $20 extra for Netflix to like right. flow on the internet.
And that's how it is in other countries, which is the warning that everyone's been giving, is like in Australia and like in stuff like that, it's like, okay, do you want to use Reddit? Okay, that's like $2 a month. Do you want to use text messages? Okay,
right.
that's another $3. Do you want to stream video? That's another $5. And like now they're basically just breaking it apart. Like, I mean, not that this is the immediate future, but that is what, you know, countries that don't have these regulations look like.
What right. is he... Like, what's good about this in his mind?
So he's coming from a place where he was the legal counsel for different internet service providers. So he's from that industry.
Specifically Verizon.
He's arguing yeah. that because the Obama era net neutrality laws are actually regulations on these internet service providers, they're actually like getting in the way of competition because they're rules. But it's like the whole argument for deregulation, like just let the market sort it out. And the market sorting it out usually ends with giant companies making consumers' lives shittier
right.
Or has often resulted in that. The one thing I will say is that so you have the internet service providers like on one side, the Comcasts and, you know, the people who own the pipes. And then on the other side, you have the Facebooks and the Twitters and the people who actually create content, the Netflixes. And, you know, there was a lot of propaganda being created by those people, like by Netflix and Facebook and stuff. Like there were images of what the internet is supposedly looks like in, you know, different countries. I think New Zealand was one that I saw. And it was like, you know, Netflix, $5, Yahoo, $2, and like all these different things. And those were actually like Photoshops that were made up by someone like that were, you know, basically somebody trying to trick people into fearing net neutrality more than, you know, and like that is a thing that could happen. But the fact that they were like falsifying images is just, you know, they're
shady. Oh, so I got Russian botted?
Yeah, you got Russian botted a little bit on
that
one.
Oh, my God.
But there's shady people on both sides. And I will just say that, you know, when people are talking about net neutrality, they're usually holding up this idea of the internet when it first started, like in the 90s, when there was all this freedom to innovate. And we don't really have that internet anymore because of like Facebook and Google and Apple, like these giant companies are squashing everybody who tries to compete with them. So we're not really in a place where, you know, everybody's free to innovate. Like Facebook still controls so much of the internet that, I mean, basically you are sort of choosing sides in a fight between giant behemoths who are already stepping on, you know, competition in a lot of ways.
Right. So like it's Pacific not Rim.
It's not super clear. Exactly. You're just picking a side.
Well, I think the other thing, though, too, is, I mean, yes, there are those arguments. And I think the things that are more scary are like because these regulations aren't there when you want to play these things out to like nightmare scenarios, like saying, well, hey, we can make, you know, Twitter slower. And we're like, you know, there are communities of like, you know, people of color who rely on things like social media to communicate and spread news and things like that and may not have the resources. Like if they have this tiered system of the internet, that could actually keep people from communicating in the way that's most efficient and things like that. So I think it's just fucking slippery. Like
Lost kids have been found because of Twitter.
Right, right. And I think that would be a shame, like, if things start going like that, because then, you know, if we go into, like, this more draconian direction of things, like, and like, let's say the government decides, like, you know, Twitter is, like, allowing people to communicate, like, too cleanly or whatever, or, like, you know, they're able to unify in a way that might be, you know, counter to what the objectives are of the government or something like that, or a company, that you could then begin interfering with things like that. That's when it becomes a little problematic from where I see it, where it's like, that shouldn't happen. Like, you shouldn't be able to tamper with the internet. But I understand that if, you know, there are other ways to, like, yeah, we're past the era of, like, this, the free open internet creating all this innovation. But, you know, what's the dark ages? Like, and I think that's what scares right. most people, is that it opens it up to being able for those things to happen.
Yeah, I don't see it being a good thing regardless. I'm just saying that some of the sort of assumptions that people are using to argue for net neutrality are a little bit full of shit, but I can't right. imagine a scenario where Verizon and AT&T and Comcast...
Hey, like, it's cheaper and right. faster and more reliable. Fuck out of here. I have Spectrum.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I can't even, like, half the time I have to use my cell phone right. to, like, watch shit.
Yeah, and draconian, like, if you've ever had to deal with, you know, internet service providers with, like, a technical difficulty or just... you know, trying to change your service, it is a fucking nightmare. Draconian is probably the best way to describe it. Hey, speaking of giant behemoths, Google released their search terms Yay. Of 2017, which I think is, I don't know. Google is interesting because we have, like, a detailed record of, you know, what we are thinking of as a culture, like our hive mind, what we're thinking of. So, like, when historians look back on history, like, usually they're able to just lie and, like, tell a more romantic story of, like, what happened. Like, we look back on the Old West and we're like, yeah, it was this, you know, battle between the frontier and the rule of law and chaos. And it was actually just, like, everybody was drunk and, like, shooting each other accidentally. And, like, I don't know, like, when you actually look at the details, but, you know, you're able to romanticize it when you look back in history. And we are not going to have that ability because Google has all the records of everything we were thinking about as a culture. And I don't know. There's some interesting stuff this year. One weird difference between global search trends and the U.S. is that Meghan Markle is one of the top 10 search terms in, like, worldwide, but she didn't make the cut in the U.S.
Wait, no, she did, actually. When I look at people... She's number two.
She's number two on people, but not on overall top 10
Oh,
trends.
So overall as a search?
Yeah. Matt Lauer.
Oh, I see.
Matt Lauer's number two.
What
y'all looking at two different lists.
Well, no, for top just searches, not people. So, like, in terms of search volume, Hurricane Irma was the most searched topic, then Matt Lauer, then Tom Petty, then Super Bowl, then Las Vegas shooting.
Right. Where does POG fit? P-A-W-G. Well, I just learned that term, y'all. Y'all know what that is?
No, what is P-A-W-G?
Pretty ass white girl?
Fat ass white.
Oh,
girl. Yeah.
P-H-A-T. Fat.
Yeah.
Wow. Because I thought it was pretty.
I didn't realize that too.
Well, I guess that makes sense though too, because whenever you see that hashtag, it is on curvier women.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I follow a lot of the curve Instagrams, which I'm getting ahead of this right now. I follow the curve Instagram.
But, like, okay, how about this? Who do you think the top athlete searched was this year, Carl?
This year. Tom Brady.
No. Floyd Mayweather.
And you know why that was? Is because people were searching Mayweather.
McGregor
to try and find that
free stream.
Yeah. So he had a...
Guys, just use Reddit.
You know what was number two?
Who?
Gordon Hayward.
Oh, because they wanted to see his fucked up injury.
Yeah. His broken ass leg.
It's just so funny.
Who's
that
the top five?
Top five, Mayweather, Gordon Hayward, Aaron Boone, Paul George, and Tony Romo.
Tony Romo?
Why is Aaron Boone on there? What happened to him?
Who is Aaron Boone?
He just became the... manager of the Yankees, I think.
Oh, that's why?
Oh, okay.
That's weird.
That makes sense.
I guess.
I'm surprised Tom Brady not on there because of all the Trump stuff.
Yeah, you would think so. But so the one rule of this is that these have to be spikes in searches. So, for instance, Trump is not the most searched person just because last year he was also the most searched person. So it wasn't like a big spike in searches for him.
Right. Google told me they were going to make me the most searched person this year.
They failed.
And they failed. I knew that. I was not the most searched
person. They're canceled. That's why I use Bing, the greatest search engine.
Why do you think Meghan Markle didn't make the top 10 in the U.S. and made it globally? I'm very confused by that because she is an American.
Racist nation and she is black.
That was
Jack.
That was
but the
one
second
of
most searched
theories.
Person and the highest searched actor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ain't no black person ever going to be the top search unless
it's Cardi B.
Cardi B.
Which was number two in
See?
Musicians.
I told you.
Yeah, Cardi B.
Black people can't never win.
So the list of people is actually very revealing because we had a lot of like really strong, triumphant women, and then you'll see a trend in the men. So number one person, Matt Lauer. Two is Meghan Markle. Three, Harvey Weinstein. Four, Michael Flynn. Five, Kevin Spacey. Six, Bill O'Reilly. Seven, Melania Trump. Eight, Kathy Griffin. Nine, Milo Yiannopoulos, and then 10, Gal Gadot, Wonder Woman. So, yeah.
It's an interesting group.
Yeah.
I think the one thing that I just want to flag is that the top how-to search in the United States was how to make slime.
Right.
What the fuck is going on, America? That's what you are trying to learn?
Also, in the globe, how to make slime is number one. This is, I think, actually revealing because, so one of the most popular genres of video on YouTube right now is how to make slime videos. And it's just kids trying to figure out how to make
slime.
Yeah. Like it's basically like. You use like different cleaning products and make different types of slime, like put cleaning products in the microwave and some slimy, weird, cool shit comes out.
See, that's a different era because I would get fucked up the if I tried to cook it. Up a bunch of slime in my fucking microwave.
Yeah.
The
kids sell it at schools.
What?
Yeah. They go to school and sell slime.
Yeah, that's what they're doing instead of drugs.
Oh, so the reason is because it's created, it's an entrepreneurial opportunity.
I mean, for themselves and for others. Also,
why are you so up on the children's slime game in schools? Hey, the slime trade.
Don't ask no questions. I also know that kids are smoking cigarettes more than ever again now.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Jesus.
You smoke cigarettes, man?
Nah, just weed.
Okay.
Not disgusting.
I think the younger generations. I'm like 2 years older than you are. I think the younger generation.
I don't know. How old are you?
28.
My G, I'm 5 years older than you.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought you were like 26.
Thank you so much.
The kids younger than us are smoking cigarettes again.
That's crazy.
I guess truth worked a little bit on our generation.
Yeah. We didn't. Smoking wasn't cool when we were in school.
Is that because vaping is back? And are they considering that what it is? Because that's the thing I always see now. It's like. A PSA with like a 16-year-old kid is like, I'm hooked on vaping.
Yeah.
And you're like, bro, you're already taking an L at 16 like that by being the dude who's hooked on vaping.
And doing a commercial about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you're getting laughed at.
No, I mean, the tobacco companies have been working very hard to find other nicotine delivery products. And so they've got vaping. They've got this stuff, snus, which is like delicious. You can't even
delicious
see
backy
it.
To chew.
Yeah, just delicious tobacco that you can just put in your lip and nobody can tell you're using it. It's like
because you can swallow it, right?
Yeah, you can swallow it, so you don't have to spit it out.
Really?
Yeah, it's
I'm gonna go get some of that after this.
I know.
Did you ever have teachers who chewed in class?
Yeah, I had a teacher who dipped, and like he pretended like he was just taking sips of a Coke, but he was actually spitting.
Oh my god!
The
exact same fucking thing. When I did improv in high school, our theater teacher, Mr. Lawrence, shout out to Lawrence Arms. He had T-Rex arms. He would always be, you know, like when people chew, like they got a pinch right here to get that flavor out, under their lip. And then, same thing, Diet Coke can, because we knew. He'd be like, so guys, and you can't see, this is a podcast, but what I did was take a very weird sip out of an imaginary Coke can and just, spitting in there.
My baseball coach just used to spit.
Well, that's baseball. You're out in the field.
But I think the whole, I think that's what we'll be known for is, the way that culture sort of started being, songs right now, some of the most popular types of songs are by people who can't really sing that well, like Future and people like that. It's like people want to be able to do the thing. So the most popular videos are kids making slime because that's easy to do. And people want to be able to see themselves doing that thing. And people, that's the type of music we like. That's why we like reality TV is because we can compare ourselves to the people. So I don't know. I think that's in these search trends.
Man, just... fucking kids with their slime. That's
the kids. Say,
man. These kids and their slime.
I'm feeling fucking old as shit. I remember when I used to buy Nickelodeon GAC.
Right.
Remember that shit?
We just bought our own slime at the fucking
store. And also, the shit was expensive. My mom was like, bought me one, and half of it you'd lose because you'd throw it out of a car or some shit. And then you're like, I got half my GAC now. And there was no internet for me to be like, how do I make GAC?
Yeah. To be honest. Exactly. I bet the things they're doing, like, I bet making slime is way cooler than what the shit I was doing. Like, I was, like, trying to light stuff on fire that, like, wasn't that flammable.
Yeah.
Like, I was just doing boring shit because I didn't have the internet to tell me how to do all that stuff.
So, I was mixed. I was just trying to find new solutions to clean my shoes with.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And I just mixed bleach and acetone. Like,
what
into
fuck?
A styrofoam cup.
And
the
it
cup
melted
just
or...
disintegrated.
Yeah, right, right,
like,
right.
Like, it just... And I was like, science.
Right.
The cup just like went in, no noise, no like nothing. It was just went, yeah.
Yeah, the only things we knew how to make were like out of the like anarchist cookbook. Like that's where the fuck my head was at back then. Or like trying to make fucking napalm. You ever trying to do that?
Nah, I
ain't with like styrofoam and gasoline?
Nope.
All right, never mind. See you later.
That book is banned now, ain't it?
Yeah, it must be. I mean, like, it was like one of those things where, like, it was like a thing kids talked about. You heard about the Anarchist Cookbook, like, tell you all this thing. And it took some kid's, like, wild, like, junkie dropout brother who had it. Mm-hmm. And, like, we had, like, maybe 5 pages of it. We're like, this is it. And it wasn't enough to get in trouble, but enough to get our minds going.
I heard if you Google it now, you get flagged.
Really? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now with the internet neutrality. Mm-hmm. In order to, there is a whole new tier that you can just Google bomb stuff. You got to pay
right. You
extra $10.
Bomb stuff is $10.99.
Which package do you want? Yeah. I want the domestic terrorist package.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Where are we going?
Just always confused. But
you like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
And we're back. So a few quick hits on our way out. Omarosa, on her way out, set off some alarms at the White House. God. So what happened here?
It's the best story. Apparently, I think it was at a Christmas party. These are the only facts you need to know. She wasn't doing shit at the White House, and she was getting $180,000 a year just to fucking distract the president. John Kelly, chief of staff, hated it because apparently she knew Trump so well, she could just say some shit to him and have him fucking spiraling.
Right.
And so over time, he had always wanted to get her out. And then I forget
Omarosa was came in third in the first season of
Yeah, she was kicked Apprentice. Off. She lost on The Apprentice twice, I'm pretty sure. Because okay. I think she also was kicked off Celebrity Apprentice.
Sure.
That's how much Donald Trump is fucking with her.
Right.
And now a third time.
Right.
So she was basically a distraction. John Kelly is like, you're fired. She flips out. She was like, nah, fuck this. You don't. She's like, think something to that effect of like, hell no, you don't have the fucking power to fire me. He's like, yes, I do. And you're fired.
I'm the chief
and
of
I'm
staff.
Not Donald Trump telling you this. You're fired.
Right.
And she was like, wasn't having it. She apparently called Ivanka Trump, was like begging her, like, don't let him fucking fire me, man. Like, I don't know what I'm gonna do for work or whatever the fuck it was. And then finally, she had enough that she stormed into the White House, into the residence part of the White House, not like the West Wing where they work, but the residence, which is a completely like you can't just run up in there.
Right.
Like you're at
it's
a house
party. Like
walking
into your boss's house.
Yeah. And so it triggered alarms because you cannot just fucking stroll in there. So it was like a whole ordeal. Some accounts are that the Secret Service had to fucking drag her ass out, kicking and screaming because she was like, this is bullshit. But then fucking like the next day, the Secret Service Twitter is like, we did not have anything, you know, we did not have to escort her out or whatever. All we did was, deactivate her badge that gives her access to the campus. But then Sarah Huckabee Sanders earlier in the day is like, no, she's resigning and she's going to leave on January 20th.
I think as a policy on this show, we can just stop saying what Sarah Huckabee Sanders said just because, like, it's never even, like, remotely true. It's just she just, like, gets up there and
has to say whatever
just
Trump
says whatever
needs
the
her
fuck.
To hear so
yeah.
He doesn't shit his diaper.
It's just, like, a complete – it has no bearing on the truth. I'm so tired of her.
Yeah, so she says January 20th, but then the Secret Service is like, nah, we fucking – we killed her ID badge. So, I mean, if you're leaving the 20th, why are you getting your key card taken away so quickly? And again, then she shows up on Good Morning America today and was just like, the narrative, it seems like now is that she's like, you know, as a woman of color, there was a lot of things that were really disturbing to me in the White House. But it's like,
get your ass out.
First of all, it took you this fucking long. Like, what the, were you a fucking alive during the campaign? Like,
right.
Did you think this dude, like, come on.
Don't do that. Don't do that, Omarosa. Don't start playing that woman of color bullshit.
No, I mean, you had your chance.
You had your chance.
But I mean, if it gives us a great tell-all book, because is one thing she said. She said, I have a story to tell that I think the world is going to want to hear,
for a $300,000 advance check.
Lovely. That is very exciting to me. But
there's nothing better than a woman of color scorned who was in the White House watching all this racist shit happen, because I'm sure she has a fucking spicy one to tell.
Well, this just goes back to Trump being the easiest person to manipulate that has ever been president. So he's going to have people around him who just are good at flattering him.
Yeah.
And
so
when they, you know, a lot of people who, you know, are just there to manipulate him have access to the White House. So that's going to come back and bite him in the ass. And I mean, Roger Stone also has announced that he's now writing a book about the downfall of Trump.
Already?
Yeah, already. Mm. That is interesting. I think Politico reported that this book is in process, and then The Hill, one of those blogs, and he came out and was like, well, that's just one of the directions it could take. But, like, that seems to be the direction it's going.
Yeah, when your opportunistic ass is already preparing to bank in on the downfall of the president, right. Like, what the fuck do you know?
And you were his main advocate?
Yeah.
Like, that's not good.
You're like, no, I've seen it. We've buried bodies before.
Right.
So I'm going to start writing this down.
Damn. I think everybody should read the autobiography of Gucci Mane.
Oh, yeah?
What's it called?
The autobiography of Gucci.
Doesn't it have something? Is that? I thought it had a weird subtitle.
No.
Is it an actual book that came out?
Yeah.
I thought it had
I just got done with it. I listened to the audiobook. I don't like to read.
Is it read by Gucci?
No.
Oh.
It's read by this actor who is so funny listening to him say, like, he's like one of those black actor dudes. It's like, hey, the autobiography of Gucci Mane.
God.
As read by me.
Right.
I listen to The New Yorker sometimes on audiobook, and like they have actors who just can't say words that aren't like specifically in the dictionary. I wish that's who had read it. That would have been incredible.
He's like, he found that John, right. Like, at the party. Like, the John? Hmm.
The John.
I don't know how to read that word.
Another unconfirmed rumor that seems like it's probably true is that Paul Ryan is going to resign after 2018.
Good, good.
Or just, you know, get the fuck out of
Kick
Washington.
Kick fucking rocks, man.
After 2018?
Yeah, yeah.
So like, 2019?
Or no, I think he is his term up in 2018.
I think so.
Yeah, yeah. So he's just not going to run for re-election, and then he's going to go and retire to doing P90X.
P90X.
Do women think he looks good?
I don't know how they could because he just has a horizontal line where a mouth should be. Yeah. He doesn't.
Got those Kenneth Branagh lips.
Yeah,
just we see you, Kenneth Branagh.
Non-existent lips.
But at first, yeah, I think women loved him because he was like, oh, young. He works out and he's young and he wore a backwards hat once.
Right.
And then like, then as you actually like his politics really came out, you're like, oh, this guy is a fucking fuckbag. Like,
yeah. No, his whole, he talked about how back in college, he used to like stand around at frat parties, fantasizing about reforming taxes in America to take away entitlements from poor people.
Yeah, yeah. I think, because that's what he's saying. He's like coming after Medicaid and stuff next.
I feel like Paul Ryan claps when he hoops. Like when you got the ball, he's like, over here. Hey.
Oh, I thought you meant the kind of guy when you're playing D, you try and clap when they take a shot to distract him. Like, hey.
Oh, no.
Probably does that shit.
Clap. He probably does that too, but like a lot of clapping when he's on the court. Like, hey, come on over here. Hey, ball.
So we've just found out from super producer Nick Stump that Paul Ryan is a Rage Against the Machine fan? How the fuck?
So this dude is being eaten alive by an inner conflict between, like, his tastes in, like, anti-establishment shit and just being the most establishment motherfucker who has ever existed.
Yo, Tim 2K, Tom Morello, Zach, I forget the drummer's name, go find this man and shake the shit out of him and be like, yo, you look like you're born without a face. Holler back. Like, I don't know what the fuck. Paul Ryan, I mean, again, I think one of the reasons, too, is I think once these tax cuts are passed, he'll be like, oh, well, I've done it all. Time to go. Or maybe he's afraid of, like, possible Democratic wave in 2018. I'm not quite sure. I'm not an expert. But we shall see.
I'm an expert.
What do you think? Why do you think
he's a political expert?
Yeah, Carl.
I'm not a political expert. I'm just an expert.
An expert, yeah. Uh-huh. What's in your expert opinion on this? What do you think? Why do you think he's leaving?
I think he's leaving because he might have some sexual assault shit coming out. But also, usually the women they get sexually assaulted by these conservatives seem to have their back at times for some reason.
Right.
But, and I also think he's leaving just because maybe his bed's not comfortable.
I think he got into this for, like, idealistic reasons that, like, his ideals are fucking terrible. But, you know, that's why he got into it. And then he's just been forced to eat shit for the past, you know, year and a half. And, you know, he's starting to feel like what Kellyanne Conway and like some of these other conservatives look like who like seem like they're, you know, dying on the inside.
Well, yeah, because he's had to go back and forth constantly. One second he's for something, he's against something, he's for something, he's against something. It's fucking tiring.
Right.
And now to know that he was fantasizing about tax cuts at frat parties, you know, this dude just straight up jerks off to YouTube clips of like Bush announcing the tax cuts or something like that.
Right.
Well, he'll have plenty of time to do that now.
And finally, there is a rumor going around out there that I almost called Marco Rubio Ricky Rubio. Marco Rubio is potentially a no on the tax bill. So
yeah.
The tax bill might get interesting suddenly, but we don't know for sure.
Well, right, because Bob Corker does not like the plan because it doesn't address the deficit, which is one of the reasons he voted against it in the first place. And then also you have to remember that there are two congressmen who are out right now on leave, medical leave, John McCain and Thad Cochran. So those are two votes that aren't even present, and you need 50 votes. And so, I mean, yeah, this could cause a bit of a delay for this thing to get, you know, to have a final vote on it. And maybe Doug Jones will be in the Senate by then. Who knows? I mean, it could be an interesting next week for sure.
They might be in there for a long time. They're going to need a snack. Mm-hmm. Poke bowls.
Ooh.
For the conservative.
Yeah, one of the...
I was hoping you had a business name for that.
No.
One of the talking points that we mentioned yesterday was that the Democrats waited for Scott Brown to get into office before they voted on Obamacare. And I've seen it pointed out by conservatives that, you know, that's not necessarily a fair comparison because the whole Scott Brown election was about Obamacare, whereas like this tax plan wasn't like the main focus of
sure.
the
Well,
Alabama
how about
race.
Then they can still talk about how about Mitch McConnell not fucking nominating or letting a Supreme Court justice get confirmed and blocking that.
Right.
So they could fucking put in crazy ass Neil Gorsuch.
Right. And like if they had made it the focus of the reason it wasn't a focus or, you know, that much of a focus is because they had a pedophile that the Republicans were running like yeah. that. You're going to make that the focus regardless.
That's not a priority.
Right.
Exactly.
So we'll see. But yeah, the tax bill might not be as much of a slam dunk as people thought before. Carl, it's been a delight having you.
Is this it?
Yeah, this is it, man.
Man, I wish I knew about all the stuff that y'all know about.
Well,
it's hard, man.
It's what we do for a living.
Keeps me looking young. That's why you thought I was 26.
Yeah, 26. This stuff keeps you looking young.
Yeah.
What makes you look old?
I'm not sure.
That's ridiculous.
I don't intend to find out.
Right. Carl, where can people find you on social media?
Check me out at Damn It Carl on all things social. That's DammitCarl on Twitter and Instagram. Follow up. Hit me up.
Do you Snapchat?
I don't snap like that.
Okay, because I'm telling you, follow Carl just for his Instagram stories.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, one of the funniest stories I fucking saw this year was just Carl laughing at a Little Caesars commercial.
This shit was so funny.
you don't realize how absurd a commercial is till you have Carl's laugh behind it.
And Carl, do you have a podcast?
No, I don't, Jack.
Okay, cool.
Let's give him one.
Hey, we're going to give you one.
Oh, shit. You are?
Yeah, you and Edgar and Jaquez, who will be on the show in the not-too-distant future.
I think I'm going to call it Culture Kings. Oh. But, Jack, I can't just release a podcast without a trailer.
Right.
Especially when Anna made me record it 30 times.
Uh-huh.
And so the trailer, I'm going to release that on December 20th.
Okay.
How's that? Does that sound good to you?
Sounds perfect. Sounds good.
And then the first episode, I think I'm going to release on,
Tell me the right date.
Let me
Tell me
see.
The date. Tell me the date.
Let me just think of a good date here. I need it to be on somebody's special birthday. And I think I want that birthday to be Gucci Mane's wife, Keisha Kaur. And her birthday is on January 10th.
Okay.
So they're going to release the first episode on Keisha Kaur's birthday, which is January 10th. It's 5 days after my birthday.
January 5th.
I'm going to be 4 years younger than Miles.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Until
Beautiful.
He becomes a year older, which I will be.
And then balance will be restored.
Balance will be restored.
And for anyone who is thinking this was a bit, no. Carl, you are on a new show called Culture Kings.
Who would think that was a bit?
I don't know.
That was so believable.
Yeah. Just let people, January 10th, guys.
January
10th,
Culture
trailer.
Kings right here on How Stuff Works Network.
It's going to be very funny. You guys like Edgar. You guys like Carl. And I think Jaquez will be in here next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So by that point, you'll have heard everybody. And it is going to be the funniest shit out there.
And shout out to all the Edgar's haters. Because
Does he talk about people?
You don't like him either?
So they have a point.
Yeah, they got a point. You guys are right.
Miles, where can people follow you?
You can find me probably watching Carl's stories on Instagram, but if you're trying to follow me, I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray.
You can follow me at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. You can follow us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page that you can find just by searching Daily Zeitgeist. And we have a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post episodes and footnotes with links off to all the sources of all the stuff we're talking about. And that's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow with our season finale. And before we go, Carl, do you have a music recommendation?
I got a music recommendation for everybody. I'm going to do this like a black DJ in Atlanta, because that's what I've always wanted to be. I love the radio. So take us out of here at the end of the show, the penultimate episode of season 10 of Daily Zeitgeist right here on How Stuff Works. Coming at you right now is Miguel, a new hit off of his brand new album, War and Leisure, and it's called Pineapple Skies. And there's a line in the song that goes, promise everything's gonna be all right. Because it is, y'all, net neutrality. We out.
We'll be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then.
Are the trees high enough, baby? Leaves so high your feet won't touch the ground. Would you look up? deeper skies. Promise everything gonna be alright. Ooh, I promise everything gonna be alright. Try, everything gonna be alright.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.